Okay, welcome back, everyone. This is the first episode of the Basement Gallery's New Beginnings podcast. Before we get started, I would like to preface everything and state that the views, opinions, and ideas presented in this podcast are those of the individuals in the Basement Gallery and our guests, and do not necessarily represent the views of the University of California, Davis, and its affiliates. Now that we're done with that, I'm Jada or Jay. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm a fourth year art studio and design double major here at UC Davis, as well as the lead director of the Basement Gallery. I'm here with two of our guests and two of our Basement Gallery members, but I'll have everyone else introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Trinity. I'm an international relations major and I'm minoring in art history. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and what I do in the Basement Gallery is volunteer coordinator.
Hello, I'm Crystal Liu. I'm a second year design and art studio double major at UC Davis, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. At the Basement Gallery, I am the director of design.
Hi, my name is Helia Puyanthar. I go with she, her, hers, and I'm a first year MFA student here at the UC Davis.
Hi everyone, my name is Lucy Machado. I also use she, her, hers. I'm a first year MFA student at Alfred University in their Sculpture and Dimensional Studies program.
Okay, so other than the questions we borrowed from Paul Thek, today we'll be talking about experiences as first year MFA students. So I'm gonna start with Felicity. I wanted to talk to you about your installations, Translation of the Physical Decay and Digital Decay, and The Keys and the Keys. Your work is an aesthetic combination of digital technology and biomaterials like soil, ash, hair, and plants. Can you talk about your process and your interest in the use of these materials in your work?
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of my work kind of thinks about our relationship and our connection to our surroundings. So in that way, using, like you said, biomaterials from the landscape is really important. Coming from California and kind of being in this amazing geographical space, a lot of my work kind of fed off of the mountains, the rivers, the coasts, the deserts, all that kind of thing. And so moving to New York has been very interesting because it's kind of like totally learning everything different, getting to know this land and really kind of having that experience. So I use installation as a way to navigate this new experience, specifically thinking about how technology is another surrounding in itself and another space to navigate. So using language, I kind of have been developing sculpturally, physically, and translating that into digital methods. I'm trying to understand this space, myself in this space, and myself in this digital space as well. So it's kind of like a strange wading through the pools of all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, especially with everything like in COVID and on Zoom, like not only are you moving spaces like physically from California to, it was New York?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But also like being in like a digital space as well. Do you think that COVID has kind of changed the way that you make your art because it's based on your surroundings?
Definitely, yeah. As I kind of mentioned, it's about thinking about connecting and this communication and all of that has really changed with COVID. It was really hard to come into a totally new space and not be able to kind of have those connections, like meeting people at a distance, not really having that community, kind of having that difficulty in figuring that out in a safe place. So yeah, but it's also taught me really thinking about the digital space and what I want that to look like or what that a comfortable place for me would be like in these spaces. Yeah. So it's definitely been a roller coaster, but I think I'm finding ways to cope. And I think my practice is definitely one of them.
Great.
After COVID, since you moved to New York, do you think that like, since the space is different and pretty much like after COVID, do you think you're going to start implementing more of like the technology and like you're surrounded by buildings, I'm assuming, or you're just more in an area with like human made things? Do you think that's going to be part of your art now?
Yeah, I'm actually in rural New York. So it's kind of a different thing where, the closest big city is about an hour away and New York City itself is like 4 or 5 hours away. So I'm kind of stuck in this weird rural town with one stoplight, like very small. And I've lived in rural and urban places, but this is definitely the most rural. So for me, it's kind of like intense isolation has been kind of what I've been dealing with physically and digitally. And I think what's different here is it's in a valley. So I'm used to kind of open spaces or like mountains that are like just out of reach. And here it's just kind of like trees. You're right in front of me, you can't, like the visual horizon line is very distant. So that's kind of been playing in my work, but there's also that missing the urban landscape and just the sounds of construction, which seems silly, but yeah.
I'm gonna ask Helia about her work. I think your work is very powerful. The images that I saw, Walls of Ears and then the other two untitled pieces, right? To me, these pieces feel physically and emotionally heavy, even when viewing them through photographs. Can you walk us through your process as well as how it's been informed by your experiences or even your trauma, if you're comfortable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting to be in this group with Felicity because I almost ended up at Alfred. So yeah, but I last minute decided to come to Davis. Yeah, so I think those pieces that you mentioned are very tied into my own experience of coming to US as a refugee and living 3 years as a refugee in three different countries. And that whole process was obviously very traumatic, but also I feel like it's very rich in the sense of a lot of people in the world like share that experience right now and in the past and even in the future. So kind of my effort is, or interest is really try to connect with, like by talking about my own personal experience, trying to connect to this multitude of people who are kind of have to deal with borders everywhere they go. And they're like in this quest for safety and quest for a home. But the irony of it is that when you move, then you have to kind of reinvent that idea of the home because you've been kind of banished from it. And then where you go, you might not be accept it easily, so you have to kind of come up with your own space. And the purpose of these pieces are, in a sense, talking about that trauma, but also I hope that it comes across that it's kind of there's some dreaming involved and imagining involved in the pieces of like, okay, I have to leave the space that I called home. What would happen if I decide to take a piece of wall of it with me and just move through space with it and like kind of, even though it's fragmented, even though it's not complete, I'm just going to take what I think it belongs to me with me and move across borders with it. And it is kind of like a burden, but also this idea of imagining a place where I can take these pieces of walls or like domestic space with me and build up like a place for myself with patches of different places I've lived physically. I think, yeah, that's how I would like describe those pieces.
Yeah, that was great. I feel like your work could probably also help people who can't necessarily understand what that's like, you know, at least get some sort of glimpse into that, you know, situation or that experience. Are these pieces usually performances or are they just photographed like the way that they were submitted?
Yeah, that's actually a very a question I'm thinking about too as well, because I have heard like some comments about like, so, okay, what would happen if you actually take this on the street and like perform with it? And that's where the idea of like the trauma comes in and like, how much do I want to go into that and to actually explicitly show how it is to carry heavy things down the street? Knowing that I've already done that in real life and I don't need to like kind of, I don't know, repeat that in a pseudo way so that people can connect with it. I think I want to take it to a place where it stands on its own. And I know that there are pictures where I'm carrying these as like a performance, but I wonder if like it can left at that stage. Those are like the questions I'm like working through because these pieces are new. A body of work that I'm working on. So, but then again, yeah, that dichotomy between, yeah, people want to connect, but at the same time, how much do you want to revisit that trauma in order for them to connect? Or can they be comfortable with not knowing? You know, that's a question I deal with. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I guess it's also determined by the space that you decide to perform it in as well. Cause like,
yeah,
behind gallery walls, that's kind of contradictory to like doing it out on the street in like public and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I just thought a comment that these pieces are very beautiful, and just hearing explain like the inspiration behind these pieces really inspires me. And I feel like just seeing like, you know, the pieces where you're like holding it or carrying it, it kind of, to me, it gives off a sense of like resilience, because you know the pieces are heavy and it's like you're mm-hmm. carrying it on your back. And just adding that to your statement, it just really makes me feel emotional, and I just wanted to express my appreciation for this.
Thank you. Yeah, I think every time I talk to people about it, they like, people even give me ideas or like maybe the way they realize that, like oh, this said totally can look like an armor of like you put on your back for protection, or like, and it's like a piece of wall is supposed to keep your body safe in a sense. That's like one other aspect. Yeah.
Do you feel like the art you made helped you heal from being a refugee in some way? Like in some way it has helped you grow and continue to like live, even though you've had like probably some really hard experiences.
I definitely think, yeah, because like throughout the years, my work has become more and more explicitly about those personal experiences. I used to do very like minimal, general kind of work addressing space. And I think one way that is shifting for me is the relationship I have to form with my family in order to go through, because my dad does construction, and I've been like calling him every day, kind of asking, how do you do this? How do you use like a drywall and all of those things? And they are also interested in my work. So when we get together and we talk about it, we kind of have to, as a whole, like revisit some of the things that we went through. And I think definitely one way of moving forward is to actually address what happened in the past. And even though we as a family have been really tiptoeing around that, but I think over the years, the more I explore these topics, we might want to address them more and more explicitly, even in my own family and my own personal life as well. Yeah, there's like always the sense of not wanting to talk about trauma and moving forward, but then you're like have to drag that trauma everywhere you go unless you kind of turn around and like have a conversation with it. So that's like a process I'm going through as well in my personal life.
I'm going to ask this to Felicity, but Helia, feel free to jump in if you have your experiences differed as an undergraduate compared to a graduate student. And then additionally, how has it differed or caused a change in your practice from being a student at UC Davis to Alfred University?
You know, I think for me, because I jumped into one from the other, it's kind of been a direct comparison. And I think, you know, all institutions run differently, and there's always going to be a different navigation and time to process that. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm trying to think of a good way to say this.
Yeah, but it's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, it's a lot of it was a community. It's such a different community. This is rural America, and there's not a lot of diversity. You know, I'm used to very, different communities around me and not feeling as alone. I think that was also something, was kind of like, where's the Mexican taquerias, you know, like, so that was really hard. And in reflecting that also in the community of students, so there isn't much of diversity there, or it's very far in between. And so that was difficult to navigate. And as a MFA student, I'm also being a teacher's assistant. So now I'm in this kind of authority role helping students. And it was like, wow, this was me, like, few months ago, you know, which has also been very empowering, where it's like, you know more than you think. And I think that's what the hardest thing with changing chapters, it's kind of like feeling new all over again, feeling uncertain, but kind of taking that leap of faith within yourself and being like, I can do this, like, I do have this skill set, or I see my, where the areas I need to work in, and I can do that work. So that's been very eye-opening. There's also some very kick-ass people in my program that I admire so much. So it's also like, you know, wanting to have those conversations and kind of like seeing their art journey and kind of feeling that like there are many journeys to be an artist. And so that's been very enlightening for myself. It's been different. And I think, yeah, the classroom sizes are different. They're really small here, which is great. You know, it's a good school in that sense, but it's definitely a different classroom dynamic. And that's been interesting too. It's kind of like, yeah, being in these smaller classes and having more one-on-one time with the students as a TA, which I never had the experience of at UC Davis, which isn't UC Davis's problem, like, or fault, it's a big school. But so yeah, those were some things. I was just kind of like, it's a little different. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, a large part of the, we were talking about this in my seminar, a large part of art is like being within a community of other artists and, you know, bouncing ideas off each other and bouncing like, you know, just practices off each other. So like to have the experience as a student and then turning into a TA and then also learning from your students as well as your professor, like that must be like super enriching to your practice. I feel like more and more that I hear about people talking about MFA and like their experiences, the more and more that I am like thinking about and changing my mind, like I might jump to go and get an MFA after this. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, what did I do? I mean, there's no rush. I think that's something that I learned as well, was like, I thought that this is what I needed to keep my momentum and kind of push my career in that direction. And I think in a lot of ways it was, but I think I could have also slowed down, you know, and jumping into this during COVID was kind of insane. Like the first semester was hell. Like I was so sad and depressed, and it was really hard to make work just because I totally moved across the country. That's to a so school different. I didn't know. Yeah, I don't think I'd ever suggest that to anyone. So take your time. Definitely take your time.
Yeah, for sure. And Helia, how would you say that your experiences have differed, or any comparison from your previous schooling?
Mm. I also I took a year off, but it was in the art world, that's pretty short. But as Felicity was saying, that was a matter of momentum for me as well. Because I was so clear where I want to go. I love like teaching, and I was like, I want to get to there and also like be able to make art. And in that sense, I feel like even though it is challenging, because I think MFA kind of demands you to be a lot more independent and have experiences outside of school and all of those things, but then at the same time, being demanded all of those things kind of helps you understand like what you need to do going forward, or shape your art early on in a way that would be kind of effective for your future. And also if you want to go down teaching route, then the same thing for me, I can easily connect with students because I just came out and I know like, yeah, sometimes you just don't want to do work. And but definitely during COVID, I think the sense of isolation, I also like drive a lot of inspiration from talking to people and like being surrounded by other artists and bouncing ideas off of each other. But also one other thing that has been difficult to navigate is a lot of the undergraduate students are going through a lot in their like families. And like we've had people come up and like cry and be like, I have to go back home, this happened, or like I lost a grandparent, or a lot of challenges that it's just, I feel like it's a very great practice for being patient and also compassionate towards what students go through, because sometimes in our like institutions we forget that, and our baseline is, oh, I gotta be strict so that they don't abuse the system. But then when you're doing it during this time, it's more of like, no, you have to give room for people to adjust and to process things. So that's been some kind of a learning experience for me as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause I mean, as well as the students, I know that like professors are going through a lot and having to grade and having to deal with like issues as well. But, you know, we're all need to be supporting each other and making sure that we're all all right. Because at the end of the day, if we're not all right, nothing's going to get turned in. Nothing's going to get done. No art's going to be made, basically. You touched on it a little bit when you were talking, Elia, but one of the topics that Felicity wanted to talk about is kind of like advocating for an education that serves you. And I'll have Felicity start with this question. Do you have any advice for any students, I guess, undergraduate, MFA or anything, in kind of like creating their own education and doing it the way that serves them best?
Yeah. You know, I think what's hard is you're taught for so many years to kind of go through the motions and like do these foundational things, and then you get to this point and then you're done. And it's tricky because there's not a lot of breathing room to kind of grow within that structure. So what I suggest to students is like, if you find something that you're really passionate about in a class where you're like, there's this thing that I really enjoy, it's like, go from like, hold that really close and think about how you can expand that. And like, don't get too caught up with project assignments and just kind of needing prompts, but really think about like, how does this reflect what I care about? And it takes a lot of time to actually get to that point where it's like, what do I care about? Like, what is important to me? Like, what is my story? Or what is something that like drives me in my making? Which is all kind of like really big, tough questions. But like, once you start tapping into those and start really directing all of your art towards that, then for classes, it's kind of like, how can I take pieces of these classes that answer these questions? So trying to really reframe your perspective of classes, I think will help students get the most out of courses. And when you kind of get to that point, when you feel like you're making things just, and the prompt kind of fits it, but you really just wanted to make this thing, that's when you should do independent study. And you can do group independent study. Like if there's a couple of y'all that are like really wanting to do something, it's so possible. I was able to do it my last quarter at UC Davis, of just like, we wanted some intense critique. So we made a group and we would just be like peer feedback and critique. And Young Sue was able to just like pop in every once in a while. And that was the whole thing. And we got credit for it. So, you know, it is definitely like, you got to do a lot more legwork, a lot more admin work. But if you're in that lane of like, I know what I want to make, and I just need a little more support, go for it. Just figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, because I took the seminar with Annabeth, and most of it is like, oh, show work that you've been working on outside of class. And I'm over there like, wait, I don't have any work outside of class. I need to get going. And I was asking myself, like, you know, like, yeah, what is my story? Like, what do I really want to talk about in my art? I had a whole spiral and existential crisis, but I came out the other end with a whole bunch of new artwork and a new direction. So I definitely think, yeah, going for independent study was probably something that I'll do in the future to help me. We'll see.
Definitely. And like asking those questions are so important, and like taking the time to like work through those crises, like that is where you're going to get to your voice and your, and build your artistic vocabulary. And that's what's going to make that portfolio and really push you in a direction that you can nurture after school.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like finding like your own voice like outside of school projects is so important, like what Jada and Felicity were just saying, because I feel like I've kind of been in like a dilemma where I've been so focused on like school projects, and I'm so used to school projects, like I just want to like, you know, get everything that I'm assigned done right away and just have it be like exactly what the professors want. But it's kind of prohibited me from like finding my own artistic vision and what I really want to do. So yeah, that was really helpful advice. Mm. I do think independent study would be a cool idea.
Mm. Yeah, I'd like to agree with that. Even though I'm not in that realm of art, I'm an international relations major. Like even applying that to like my studies is really important. Like what is like your goal outside of what we're learning. So I found that even not being in the same major or like realm, very helpful.
Yeah, I think one thing I would want to add is like I've been thinking about this a lot too, the idea of being proactive and what does that mean to like actively think about yourselves and your surroundings and the institutions that are supposed to like provide you service. And one way for me to think about being proactive is also like the power of union in a sense of like people coming together, students coming together and advocating for themselves. And like having this perspective that we are all kind of learning and we are going through a lot of changes, especially during this time. But then when we all come together and form this like louder voice, then we can really ask our institutions to also be proactive the way they expect us to be proactive, in a sense of like race relations, having a different view on how to do critique, where it's more of like a lot more welcoming and accepting of people coming together. And again, like how Felicity says, like forming that vocabulary or that language of critique in it together. And then this hierarchies of like professor or students are like a little bit more blurred so that we understand that we are all learning from each other. And that's why that's one of the things I suggest because I'm also like trying to work on that in like my cohort, and we all like try to be more proactive about that. So this idea of union, and not, it doesn't have to be necessarily a formal union, but just like people coming together and consulting and being like, what can we do to get what we deserve from an institution? And also, what can we do to give more to an institution in a way that the institution in the future is going to change and be a lot more proactive, you know?
I completely agree with what both of you were saying. I don't think that people should be scared to walk into a critique. Like, I feel like you should be like, oh, I can't wait to hear what my classmates have to say about my work or what my professor has to say about my work. But I feel like sometimes, you know, it comes like you walk in and the professor, it's like super serious and everyone's like kind of super down about everything. And instead of being like giving, you know, positive criticism or anything like that, it's more like, oh, that's cool. That's great. You know? That, and that's the end of the discussion, which I don't think is necessarily helpful unless we all learn how to kind of be better at that so we can grow as artists. Yeah,
no, I hear that. And I think that goes a lot with, you know, approaching critique. And I think that's a question that art schools have really had to figure out for a long time, because there are so many different ideologies and pedagogies that goes with art critique and institutions. But for students, it's more of like figuring out what you need from a critique. Like, what do you want out of it? And like, how do you ask those questions of your peers or of your faculty to help kind of fill and nurture that want? Yeah, and kind of going off too with what Ilya was saying with kind of creating that union and thinking about, you know, how to pay that forward. And it's like, if you don't say anything now, or if you don't fix that, like, who will? And I think that's kind of like the main emotion I felt in a lot of institutions, where it's like, you know what, I learned how to use my voice, and if I don't use it, then who will? And kind of like, I don't want the same experience to happen to another student, which is so hard because it's like, it's a lot of emotional energy to expend into a space that like you're going to leave after a few years. But I do think there is something to say of practicing, like in these spaces where it's low kind of risk, like, you know, you can take that practice of speaking up and bring out into the world where, you know, it might be harder, but you're practicing here in kind of a smaller situation. So that's something as well as like, you know, getting used to bringing people together or talking or like figuring out the needs of a community will take you farther than just, you know, UC Davis or something like that. So something to think about.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, it's not just helping you, it's people in the future who possibly might be wanting the same thing as you, but someone has to speak up, someone has to do the dirty work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think art is a really great way to do that, because it's like whatever you make it. Like there is kind of like this limitlessness that, you know, as makers, we have this opportunity to really push our voices and kind of, I think art, like good art, is usually supported by a community, or it's like a cohort or a group or a movement. And that's kind of when it has the most oomph. And it's like, there's no one stopping y'all from doing that, you know? And I think that's also something, it's like collaborative works are hard, but like when you get the right group together, it can be really powerful.
So before we sign off and everything, I'm going to ask you one of the Paulette questions, really simple. Tell me about someone who inspires you.
I can say, well, there are a lot of people, obviously, but I've been recently reading this philosopher who's from South Africa, and his name is Achille Mbembe. And he talks about the idea of democracy. And I think that has been really influential in my work. And the book I'm reading is called Necropolitics. And I really recommend that. I've been telling that to everyone everywhere I go. But in terms of currently inspirations, I would say his writing is really beneficial for my work.
Great. Yeah, thank you for sharing.
There's been so much lately that's just been kind of swirling around. But I think personally, what's been the most kind of, you know, really pushing my ways of seeing is experiencing the space here, like the actual, like just nature itself. We just went through like a really intense winter, and I've never experienced so much snow for so long. And so I think that was kind of this really big lesson. And that was like the most kind of like learning things you didn't want to learn or didn't know you needed to learn. So I think there is something about sitting really still outside in a space that you might not want to be in that teaches you a lot. So a lot of inspiration has come from just the space I've been in. Yeah.
All right, well, you'll be able to find Felicity and Helia's work on Instagram. I want to thank you guys for coming on with us and having a conversation with us. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching out for new work from you guys on Instagram. I can't wait to see more. Yeah.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing.
You can find the writings and the artwork discussed in this podcast on the UC Davis Basement Gallery Instagram at UCD_basement_gallery.